teams, even though we had already played them twice.
Well, yeah, and I thought, you know, again, just getting used to the conditions and the environment and whatnot. And we had some good scoring opportunities, Derek. You know, we had two or three two-on-ones, some really subtle opportunities to score, some real good grade-A chances. And, you know, unfortunately, we couldn't put one in. And, you know, I thought we had good pressure. I thought we controlled the game, especially as far as territorial advantage goes. We just didn't hit the net with some of our best chances. Like Reed Searles comes in on two-on-one, blows it wide, and, you know, Mike Neville walks in, fires one over net on a breakaway. So we did have some good opportunities, but we just didn't capitalize on them. And that's one thing we're going to have to get better at, that because we are getting scoring opportunities, and we're going to have to put some of those in, you know, so we can get some separation. And if we don't, then all the games are going to, you know, be similar to Western Michigan, where they're tight games, close games, and it's going to come down to a bounce or a break.
Well, in period number two, we heavily outshot Michigan State 20-5. A lot of that had to do with some power play opportunity, and that was the game I really noticed how the guys were getting the puck back to the point. Shane Hanna, for instance, as soon as they got the puck, was shooting on net, weren't working it around the perimeter, weren't taking that chance of fumbling the puck, and I liked that idea because even though we didn't score on the power play, we certainly had some bouncing pucks right around the net.
No question, and we did generate some, like you said, some good chances, try to get the puck to the net, fought for rebounds. I thought, you know, Hildebrand, their goaltender, played an excellent, excellent. He was great all weekend. Of course, he had the shutout the second night, but he was the difference in our game. I thought he really gave Michigan State a chance to hang around. I mean, we had some nice opportunities in tight, some nice rebounds. You know, he fought through traffic, and like I said, no, there's good goaltending in college hockey. You're not going to beat a guy too many times straight up. You know, you're going to have to either get them moving or get traffic, try and find a rebound, those greasy goals. And unfortunately, you know, we couldn't put really just the one by him. And we had to work to get that goal. And even on that goal, he wasn't even in the net. You know, it was more of an indirect play. So anyway, we had a strong second period. I felt good heading into third period about how our team had played. Now, having said that, they probably felt pretty good about their team. And, you know, after getting outplayed as badly as they did, only to be down 1-0.
Jacob Johnstone gets his first of the season at the 13-10 mark on the rebound play with Blake Hiedla and Tyler Hainanen getting the assist.
And it goes to the corner again to the half wall. Michigan Tech's in front for Hiedla. Takes the shot. Rebound is there. Score!
Well, just a nice play by Michigan Tech and some good hustle by that line on that in that whole period, Coach.
Well, no question. I thought that line, for the most part, played pretty well, especially Jake and Blake, both skating well and doing a lot of good things. But they had a good game, and obviously that's a big goal. You get that first goal in these games, in these situations, when you're not sure how much scoring you're going to get, I think it was huge in that game for us.
We outshoot them in the second period, like I said, by a wide margin, 20-5. Michigan Tech getting the shot advantage in period number two. We go to the third period, and it didn't take long for the Michigan State Spartans to get on the board and tie it up 1-1.
Chance for the Spartans from the point does not get through. Chelios with a blast. This one, rebound scored. Tapped in on the rebound by the Spartans, Matt Berry. And just like that, on the power play, they tie it up. And we have a 1-1 hockey game.
Well, we didn't make many mistakes on the penalty kill all weekend long, but there was a small one there, wasn't there, Coach?
Yeah, breakdown. You know, our defenseman just, you know, got a little caught up and didn't realize he had a backdoor guy behind him. So, but it was a simple play. They just got a shot through, and we didn't block the shot. And Matt Berry was standing alone by the side of the net, and Phoenix really had no chance. But, you know, our defenseman just got caught watching the puck and not looking around and looking for someone to pick up. And consequently, you know, Berry was wide open. And you can't leave him open by the side of the net. He's too good a hockey player.
He is.
That obviously is a big goal. Gave them some life and some momentum and some jump. And, And obviously, we saw what happened shortly thereafter.
Yeah, at the 4:02 mark, Ryan Keller redirects a shot from Drager, who takes it from the point, and it looked like it also hit Sova's stick. So I'm thinking it redirected twice. You would have a better read on that with replay coach back after the game. Did that redirect twice in front of Copley?
Well, it did, and then it took after it hit Sova's stick, it went down to the ice and basically bounced straight up on Phoenix. I mean, it's a real weird bounce on that ice, and Phoenix had no chance on it. So, again, we're trying to get out to block that shot, and unfortunately, they got the bounce. I mean, they got hit a stick and got a real awkward bounce off the ice, really in the top of the net by Phoenix.
And nobody winning that draw cleanly. Huskies do get it back to the point. Held in. Shot. Stewart scores! Oh, Copley let one in. I don't know if that took a bad hop or not. Went off of him and in the net. And the Spartans take their first lead of the game with 15:58 left to go in the period. Keller gets the goal.
Coach, what were you telling the guys at that point? Because we had really controlled so much of the game, and now we're down 2-1 in the third period.
Well, no question. And you could see they really got some energy and life on that. It really inspired their team and put us back on our heels, and that's what usually happens. But we just talked about at that point there was a lot of time left in the game, and I think that was the only good thing out of that, is we had a lot of time to work our way back and weather the storm there. I thought they were pretty good the next 4 or 5 minutes after that goal, and we got through that, and then we started to turn it around a little bit, and I thought we carried the play the last 8 to 10 minutes of that third period, and we got a big goal, obviously. A lot of good work playing to Mike Neville behind the net, and we got it on the right guy's stick, Alex Patan. You know, he's one of the guys who's very hot for us and obviously finished on that goal.
It was a great goal, Alex Patan, and proving that my sight line was terrible. I did not even know that it was Alex that put it in, but here's the call.
Sent inside of the state zone. Right wing corner. The Huskies go in on the forecheck against Walsh. Also back there helping out. The catcher. Let's put scores. Huskies put it in on a strange play. Bouncing it in. And I don't know if that was C.J. Eich or not, but the Huskies tie it up 2-2 with 11:47 left to go in the period.
Well, Eich was down in the on the goal line, extended there with Neville. Neville was the one that delivered out in front, and a quick snapshot there by Alex Patan tied the game up 2-2. That was a huge goal for the Huskies.
Well, it was. I mean, we needed a spark. We needed something to get us going. And like I said, Mike Neville made a nice play, just fed it out front. And Alex had found a little quiet area, soft spot in their defense, and really made no mistake. He got it right through Hildebrand. I think it went right between five hole. And it was a huge goal for us. And I thought really gave us some momentum as we move forward in the game.
All right, so we go into overtime, no scoring. What did you think about our overtime performance, Coach?
Well, it was short. It was short, so there wasn't a whole lot to say about it. Really, there wasn't much going on in overtime either. And even on the goal, it was it was a freak play. There just was a guy sort of flubbed his shot, and I don't even know if it got to Phoenix, the puck, and they had a guy behind the goal line, and I think the puck came to him, and he just sort of whacked at it, and somehow it came off Phoenix and got through him, and, it just trickled over the goal line. So, it wasn't even really a scoring attempt. It was just one of those plays that you see a lot in overtime where it's not a pretty goal. It's just a bounce or a bad break, a fluky goal, and unfortunately they got that break in overtime. So, like I said, there wasn't much going on in overtime, so there really can't say much about it or comment much about it.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Cole. I meant the Friday night overtime.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah, no, well, overtime on Friday. Sorry, Dirk, I'm jumping around here on you in games. I thought Friday we had a good overtime. Both teams had limited scoring opportunities. I think both teams are playing a rather safe, and make sure we had guys back. But, we had one or two chances, but not many good chances in that. So it was a non-exciting overtime for the most part.
So we go to the shootout, and Haig scores first.
Haig will come down now against Phoenix Copley. Haig on his forehand. Backhand. Shoot. Scores. Top shelf. Hit the top shelf in the water bottle to give the Spartans the lead, and the Huskies need a goal.
Really nice move there by Hang, and then it was Tanner Carroll who was really put on the spot. He had to score.
Here comes Carroll. He needs to score for the Huskies to stay in it. Carroll comes. down, shoots, scores! Tanner Carroll with the goal in the shootout, beating Hildebrand.
So, Coach, we get a couple of opportunities to put it away. Sudden death shootout. We don't do it until Ryan Fearn gets the opportunity. And you were kind of just maybe letting things happen without even watching it look like there for a while.